So last week we have looked at chapters 37 to 50, which is the story of Joseph. To be more precise, the events that we have looked at are the extension of the story of Jacob. We have noticed that the descendants of Jacob were very different from each other. For example, Judah was captivated by the earthly valleys of Canaan. On the other hand, Joseph was a very honest and responsible person who was falsely victimized for doing absolutely nothing wrong. It was his father's favoritism towards him that had made the brothers to sell Joseph off as a slave to Egypt. So does the main theme of last week's sermon was the reflection of how a person's ignorant and self-centered life, Jacob's life in this case, can overcomplicate everything. Because of Jacob's selfish thinking, which was not aligned with God's thinking, it has led to a big misunderstanding among the brothers and had brought a disastrous event in Jacob's family's life. So if we apply this main lesson from last week in our lives, then we can realize that it is vital to examine the Bible and its history to understand who God truly is and how God truly works among us. This should be our very first priority, or I should say, the preliminary step before we do anything else as Christians. So this is true because when we look at the modern church these days, there's so many Christians at first who reacted to God's calling as how Jacob reacted, but ends up not understanding who God truly is. Many of us end up clueless in terms of understanding the exact reason why God has called us in the first place. That is why we need to use the story of Jacob to awaken ourselves so that we may be able to live for the right purpose, which is to live as God's people. So let us recall this important lesson from last week. We become ignorant and self-centered because we tend to close our ears to feedbacks that are provided by those around us. And this blind spot that we, each one of us have, cannot be observed without the help of others. I mean, it's called blind spot, right? It's called a blind spot for a reason. We can't see them. We cannot see them. That is why it is imperative that we open our ears to the feedbacks. This is a key to a successful and healthy life, especially for Christians. So also in the last sermon, we talked about how Joseph didn't ask any of this to happen. Remember that. He wouldn't have asked to become the prime minister of Egypt in the first place if his brother didn't sell him off as a slave. It wouldn't have happened. None of this would have happened if his dad, Jacob, wasn't so selfish by showing excessive favoritism towards him, towards Joseph. Similarly, there are things in life that we didn't have any choice over. For example, we might be weaker than some people, we might be shorter than some people, we might be poorer than others, and because of the environment that we're born into, our whole life may be affected in a negative way. It may not always be positive. And there are definitely things, if we think about our lives, there are definitely things that are negative, working in a negative way. These are uncomfortable reality. And yet, at the same time, they are an inevitable truth. However, by looking at how Joseph lived his life, despite those unfair events happening in his life, like his brother selling him off, like his dad showing excessive favoritism towards him, we can try to do the same in our lives, like how Joseph did. Thus, the story of Joseph is telling us today how to not fall into despair with the realities that is upon us, but rather how to live truly like God's people. So we can really see this theme play out over and over again, right? Remember we talked about how Adam and Eve's selfish actions have caused a great tragedy to all the future humankind, basically having to leave the Garden of Eden for the path of debt. Well, the same theme is occurring again in the story of Jacob. Because God has given us the free will. This theme comes up again and again. The free will that God has given us to pave our own paths. Our selfish desires have caused a complex, regrettable, and suffocating future for our future generation. But this next concept is very important. It may well be the case that the free will has brought upon a great distress in our lives. The very choices that our ancestors have made may be the very reason why some of our lives are miserable. Worse yet, it might be the action of our own parents that have made our lives so miserable. Nonetheless, remember this. We can use that free will to make things better again. Free will has the capability to destroy our lives and also has the power to enliven our lives. If we stay true to the words in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, which says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather serve another in love." If we stay true to these words, then God will definitely bless our despair lives. His promise will lead us to a great victory. Let's really meditate and reflect on this point by studying more closely into the details of Joseph's life. Now, God will bless and change our lives only if we stop blaming on the reality and start believing in His promise. So no matter what you may be going through in your life at this moment, if we stay true to His promise and walk on the righteous path, then He will provide us with that help that we need. So from Joseph's life, we can immediately see how his actions are guided by God's values. He tries really hard to align himself with the God's values. In chapter 39, we can see that Potiphar has Joseph in charge of his household and entrusted Joseph with everything that he has owned. When his master's wife induces Joseph to her bed, Joseph refuses. He responds to his master's wife by saying, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Although this has ultimately caused Joseph to be sent to jail, we can see that Joseph never lost sight of God's words and his promise. The seduction of the master's wife has not led Joseph to distort his firm standard that he had on God's values. So the truth is, God will be with us when we live like Joseph by acting faithfully towards God's promise. I mean, just think about this. God has sent His own beloved Son to this world to save us, the humans. From what though? From our sins. We're walking towards the path of hell. God just couldn't see that happening. So He had to send His own Son to die on the cross to wash our sins away. But if there is anyone out there who wishes to ignore the sacrifice, to ignore the blood of Jesus, and continue to live a sinful life and walk towards a path of hell, then how can God help you? God has given us the free will. Therefore, there is so much that He can do on His end to save us from hell. This means that we have to do what is necessary in our ends for God to even help us. So if God is calling you at this time to come back to Him, to the path of life and heaven, then we must surely react to His calling. He will not call you if you're on the right path. He will only be calling you to come back to Him if you're on the verge of walking straight into hell. And we already know the potential of God and how He can do and what He can do to turn our lives upside down instantly. We can see from chapters 40 and 41 that God allows Joseph to interpret the dreams while he was in jail. Because Joseph was faithful to God's promise, despite whatever unfair events or accusations had been made to him, God cured Joseph's life instantly by allowing him to interpret the dreams, which gives him the opportunity to be set free from the prison. So dreams can be tricky. How can a person know what the future is through his or her dream? And how can one interpret the dream to see what the future holds? Dream is not something that we can just dream about. Rather, it's something that we must, whether it's something that must be provided by God. So when Joseph was living faithfully to God's words, he had his ears open in order to listen to God's words. Thus he knew that God was trying to speak to him through his dreams. In other words, he didn't just think of his dream as a mere coincidence, but rather as a dream with purpose and meaning. In summary, Joseph was always spiritually awake. Just like how Abraham was faithful to the dreams and illusions that he had of God, and just like how Isaac was faithful to God's response in chapter 26 while he was on his way to Egypt, and just like how Jacob in chapter 28 was faithful to the dream that he had of God when he was running away from his brother Esau, Joseph too was faithful to the dream and the illusion of God, which revealed God's promise and covenant. In conclusion, what is the similarity of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph? God was with them all when they believed and reacted to God's covenant and promise. So, now this brings up an interesting thought. Does God still use dreams to encourage his ministry? I mean, they did it with Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob. I mean, we must take into consideration that Bible didn't exist during the times of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Since there was no Bible during that era, God used dreams and visions to convey a lot of his messages to his people. As a result, the vision and dreams that they had has become the history that we're currently following to understand how God works in us. So through this history, God has shown us how to live as his people. And by sending Messiah, he has shown us what plans he has stored for us. And also showing us how his kingdom will come about at the last days. All of this is recorded in the Bible. Therefore, there is really no need for him to convey his message through dreams and visions anymore. We just need to follow the Bible in historical sequence. Nevertheless, it is still possible for God to convey his message through dreams and visions. But this must be carefully interpreted or approached. So many of us wonder why most of the events take place in Israel. I mean, it's a fair question, right? The reasoning behind this relates somewhat to God using dreams and visions to convey his message during this time. Remember, there was no Bible at this time, and God has used dreams and visions to spread his ministry. And how did he do that? How did he do this exactly? He used those who were faithful to him, those who understood and believed in the covenant and his promise. He chose them so that his purpose and promise can be recorded in the Bible, so that it could remain forever. The people who are chosen happen to be Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. Through these characters, we're able to see how God's promise are being kept and how that commitment eventually leads to building the kingdom of heaven. So what I'm trying to say is there are two points to take away from this point, from this idea. So God truly indeed used visions and dreams to convey his message during the era of Abraham and Isaac, because there was no Bible recorded. However, now all the stories and messages are recorded in the Bible. We can follow the Bible, and we need to be very skeptical about the dreams and the visions that we have these days. As an example, recall one of the early dreams that Joseph had as a child. He had a dream about his family bowing and kneeling before him. This dream has angered his brothers even more. However, we must remember that God was showing Joseph of the things that are yet to come and the things that God will achieve through Joseph. This dream eventually has become like a living testimony for his family and the generations to come. And it very well could work as a testimony for this generation as well. Now then, how could have God convey his message during this era without using dreams and visions? It would have been merely impossible to make the people believe in his kingdom if it wasn't for the dreams and visions. And we know this is even more true by looking at Amos chapter 3 verse 7. It says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." So there you go. He will reveal to us in whatever method necessary to convey his message. And now we know the Bible is indeed the message of God, because it's a message that was given to Abraham and his descendants through dreams and visions. In other words, the history of messages given to Abraham and his descendants are being played throughout the Bible. There are so many signs of miracles in the Bible, and also so many predictions of Messiah coming to this earth. These have already been proven in the history. Therefore, all we need to do at this present time is believe what's in the Bible. It's simple as that. We need to continue to believe in His promise and the covenant that was given to the characters in the Bible, which are really covenant made with us, figuratively speaking. Just like how God promised and sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, during the New Testament era, we need to continue to believe in that promise and live by those words each and every day. So the true Christian will believe that Christianity is a complete religion, and that the revelation of God has already been recorded in the Bible. Thus, despite the long and complicated history, the real believers will believe in the words of the Bible and will know that Bible is enough for us to live a faithful and a holy life. And let me note this important point. I'm not trying to discourage the visions and dreams that one may have. I mean, God can basically do anything He wants. Therefore, He can very well still use the traditional way of conveying His message through visions and dreams. However, since we have the Bible now, people who believe that God is telling them something through their dreams or visions, now they must cross-reference it with the Bible. In other words, they must get their dreams and visions approved by the Bible. If they don't align their dreams and visions with the Bible, then we must certainly be skeptical about the dreams and visions that we have. So the point here is that we must be very careful with the dreams and visions that we may have. We must be careful in terms of trying to apply them into our lives or heavily relying on them, because the words of God, the message of God, has already been printed in the Bible. If you see someone who tries to add, subtract, twist, or omit something from the Bible because their dreams or visions that they have, then we must stay away from them. Or at least, we must be very skeptical of what they are trying to achieve. I'm not saying this for no good reason. There are so many fake churches out there today that try to undermine the Bible itself by trying to replace the God's words in the Bible with their own interpretation of the dreams and visions that they have. They make it seem like the dreams are the main story and main theme or main point of Christianity. And they make the Bible as a mere reference to support their dreams. Let us be really careful of not falling for those kinds of traps. I mean, to be honest, we don't really need to hear other people's dreams and visions to understand what God is trying to tell us today, because this is already in the Bible. And we just do that through deep meditation. So let us remember once more, since the revelation of God is completed at this point, we must look at the Bible to find God's words And we must not find God's message through, we must not try to find God's message through dreams and visions. I mean, if we delve into the dream itself, the concept of dream, we can see that the theory behind dreams can be better found in psychology or in science in general, rather than from church. This theory did not come from church. Freud and Carl Jung have mentioned that dreams reveal what we desire or wish to happen. Sometimes in reality, there are things that cannot be satisfied or achieved. These things tend to appear in our dreams. Thus, we can really see what problems that we're having at the moment by looking at our dreams. I'm pretty sure you guys have nightmares. I'm pretty sure we all go through one of those dreams where we wish that it would have happened in reality. And this is a proven fact in science and in psychology. So to summarize, it is an undoubtable fact that God used dreams and visions to reveal His purpose, intention, and message. This was a very special and unique way for God to communicate with humans. However, it is also an inevitable fact that we now have the Bible, which records all the history of God's interactions with humans. Thus, it is really the words in the Bible, not through dreams and visions, that convey the true message of God. It is when we look at the history and the Bible themselves, we truly understand how to live as God's people. And if we do have some unique dreams and visions, then by all means, utilize them, as long as it doesn't disrupt or undermine the words in the Bible. So again, we use dreams and visions a lot because as a superficial, superstitious kind of thing, trying to see what the future holds for us. So we should be very careful in using them. And there's several points to take away from Joseph's stories of his dreams. Joseph believed in God's promise and didn't compromise with the earthly enticements. We know that God will guide us who truly try to live like His people. Thus, by looking at Joseph's stories, we know how to live like God's people and know that we can expect and know that what we can expect when we live like God's people. So recall that Joseph was sent to jail when he tried to live like God's people. I mean, this can happen in our lives as well. Sometimes when we don't act greedy, we tend to lose the most. When we try to live righteously, we tend to face the most difficult situations. Now, put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. You have so much faith in God and believe that He was the living God. And now you're suffering because you're trying to honor Him by denying against committing a sin. Wouldn't you have blamed God for throwing more hardships at you for being faithful to Him? But Joseph was different. Instead of developing a hatred feeling towards God, Joseph chose to put full confidence in God. Even though he fell into the deepest pit, he still had faith in God. He accepted the reality of what has already happened to him, which is something that he cannot change, and decided to trust God even more. His father, Jacob, always put some kind of condition on his faith. In chapter 29, verse 21, he says, "So that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God." Unlike his father, though, Joseph unconditionally put his faith in God. This is the lesson for all of us who are living in this world that appears to be unfair at most times. And we must abide by this lesson because God has indeed called on us, this earth, to live as His people. Then did Joseph ever resent it against God? If we look at the Bible, it seems like he had a tough time. We know this because of how he names his child. He names his firstborn Manasseh, which means, "It is because of God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." Imagine naming your child with that kind of meaning. The meaning of firstborn shows us that Joseph really went through a tough time, and every time he thought about what his brothers did, what his brothers had done to him, it tore them apart. He probably even couldn't sleep at night. Remember, it was 13 years of those painful life, being sold off as a slave and being falsely accused of a sin that he had not committed. However, he washed those pains away and forgave his brothers of what they had done to him. And Joseph realizes that it was God's blessing when they saw his brothers kneeling before him. Just like how God allowed Joseph to have that kind of vision or dream of brothers one day kneeling before him. I mean, that's called blessing. There are times in our lives where we do not understand why certain things had to happen or are happening at this moment. We may not understand the intention of God at many points in our lives. However, we should do our best to live a life like Abraham and Joseph by living a faithful life that keeps true to his promise and his words. Because of so many uncertainties in our lives, we tend to hold on to anything that we can. However, know that holding on to something other than the desire for God can lead us into a deeper pit. So right now, let go of those unreliable earthly things that you're trying so hard to hold on to. It could be your job, it could be getting into college, it could be some earthly materials such as cars or house or whatever it may be. And let go of those relationships that can destroy the relationship with God. It may be with a boyfriend or girlfriend that is stopping you from coming before God and living a faithful life. And we can only see the true blessing of God when we let these go. When we let these things go in our lives. And our twisted life will slowly unravel. It's not going to unravel itself. We need to be the ones making sacrifice, making choices, making determinations in order to change our lives. Thus, we need to put our hope only to God. Compare Joseph and Jacob. Even though his life was so twisted in every direction possible, unlike Jacob who held on to his selfish desires, Joseph put his faith and hope on God. And therefore, God has rewarded Joseph with his blessings. Let us remember this verse from Genesis chapter 50. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Just like this verse, if we hold on to God, then surely he will make all the bad things into good and will use it for his own ends. God never forgets the promise that he has made with you. He will keep his promise. Even though you may act like Jacob, who forgot about the promise made with God, God himself will never forget the promise that he has made with you. Is your life full of complicated and even chaotic to some degree, and therefore doubting whether God will help you or not? Of course, if you're in that position because of your ignorance, then you must get yourself out of there. However, if you're in that position because you want to live a faithful and righteous life, then hang in there. God will surely come through with his promise and will never forget about your sufferings. If you happen to be living a life like life that Joseph was living because of your parents, then I encourage you to change your life around like how Joseph did. Be determinate at this time, and instead of resenting on the things that has already happened to you, pick yourself up and rely on God, and live a life that will glorify God. If you do this, God will surely use you and bless your life. I know that this generation has a lot to blame for on the previous generations. However, that is a reality, and it is happening right now, whether you like it or not. So let's stop living a Jacob's life and start accepting the reality and the truth, and let's keep our faith straightforward with God's words in our lives. If we have faith, it is a fact that grace will come to us. However, if we have Jacob's faith, meaning having a conditional faith due to our own selfish desires and arrogance, then the blessing and grace will heavily be delayed. It took 130 years for Jacob to be fulfilled with grace, while it only took Joseph 13 years. God cannot come to us if we are not 100% on the same page as Him. If we have faith, it is... And then let's look at Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 3, because this summarizes nicely of what we're trying to say here. Verse 1 says, "Surely the arms of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear." Verse 3, "For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things." So let us remember, if you don't think God is not with you during the hardships, then you're mistaken, because He's always there. However, it is us, me, who is pushing God away from helping us. He will always love you, He will guide you, watch over you, and bless you. Even though you may go through difficult times, such as Joseph, He will somehow miraculously comfort you. And it is limitless in terms of what His comfort and help can achieve, because it not only helps your cause, but your cause can actually be used to help the entire nation and the generations to come. So I bless every single one of you today, regardless of what kind of background you have and what kind of inheritance you have received from your parents. Because as long as you have the faith that Joseph had, then God will use you and will bless you to the most unexpected measure. So let's follow the Bible instead of chasing after the dreams that we have. We may be tempted to resent on the things that are happening in our lives, but our living God will change that around and will use those hardships as a living testimony so that it may become the blessed tunnel to save other souls. And that concludes our study of Genesis. And let us pray now.